Hey everyone, this is Jordan from sleeklens.com and welcome to this week's episode of the Sleek Lens Photography Podcast. Thank you for coming back to this weekly photography podcast where we talk about all kinds of stuff photography. And in this particular episode, we're going to talk about, this is something that I particularly do to most of my photos, but it's actually seven things that you should do to every photo. Now, this doesn't mean that they're individual steps that you have to take per photo. Most of the time, these are done all together without you even knowing because you're kind of used to just going in your own little workflow. But there might be some things that you can kind of learn from this that you may kind of overlook or maybe just like oversee that, you kind of mess up on one thing and you realize you should have done it in this particular spot. So that's what we're going to talk about is seven different things that you should do to every photo. So I'm going to go ahead and roll into it, and they're just seven quick little topics. So we're going to go to the first one here, and that is profile corrections. A lot of times when you import a photo into Lightroom or open it up in Camera Raw, a lot of people kind of make the mistake of not applying profile corrections to your photos. Profile corrections are really, really almost needed in a way because they allow for you to kind of correct a little bit of distortion, maybe vignetting in your photo that you would normally have to either not apply, which can make your photo look a little bad. You know, you don't want that to happen. But it can also make it to where you have to make the corrections on your own. So what profile corrections do is kind of take the combination of your camera and your lens, and Adobe has built in a profile for both the camera model and the lens model, and it will apply a correction to that. So for my particular lens, I have a Canon 6D that's a full frame camera, and then I also mainly shoot with a Canon 17-40. And so what that will do is, you know, it's kind of a wider angle lens, and when I apply that profile corrections to that, it will kind of warp it a little bit. Mainly it'll kind of stretch out the center of the photo and remove a heavy distortion or a heavy kind of vignetting that I typically have, a black vignette around the edges of my lens or the edges of my final photo. It'll automatically remove that without me having to do anything. Now, if I want to keep that vignette for maybe an artistic style, I can definitely do that. But the profile corrections definitely help with removing of distortion. Does a really good job of that. So it's just one click, and you're done. It's just one small checkbox in both Lightroom and Camera Raw. If you do most of your editing in Camera Raw, it's just one little checkbox that says enable profile corrections. And when you do that, it'll automatically kind of detect the camera model and the lens that you use, and it will automatically create that profile for you and apply those distortion removals, vignetting removals, and you're good to go. Now, step number two is actually kind of applying an alignment and straightening to your photo. So this is kind of depending on the style of photography that you use. Mainly a lot of portrait photographers might not have to do this, or wedding photographers might have to do this depending on the room that they're in, or maybe they're photographing a couple over like a gazebo kind of thing, and the lines aren't perfectly straight. But it kind of just depends on the style of photography that you're into. So especially, let's say for a landscape photographer, if you go out to a landscape and you have a definite horizon line, you definitely want to kind of straighten that out. A lot of people might leave it. That might be something that they're looking into when they're editing the photo. They're kind of just concentrating on the creative edits to their photo. So kind of straightening the photo out, there's a tool, and especially in Lightroom, it's very easy to find. Under the crop overlay menu, you'll see a kind of a little angle, and it has a little ruler next to it. And what you can actually do is click on that ruler and draw one side from one side of the photo to the other, and it will kind of, you drag it along your horizon line, and it'll automatically straighten out that horizon line, so your photo is perfectly straight, perfectly level, easy as it is. Now, if you need to remove distortion, that's another separate thing. You can actually go into the transform menu in Lightroom, and under the transform menu, you have a couple options. You have off, which mainly just keeps your photo the way it was shot. You have auto, guided, level, vertical, and full. The one that you should probably use because it works for 99% of the scenarios, is auto. Auto alignment does a very, very good job. It detects all the vertical and horizontal lines and straightens those out, especially if you're in a situation like a venue, like a room or something. It will definitely straighten out those lines, remove the distortion from your photos, and makes them look really, really nice. So I would definitely use auto alignment as well as straightening out the photo with the angle tool in Lightroom. Now, step number three is actually sharpening. A lot of people actually don't sharpen their images, and that's, especially if you're shooting raw, that is kind of like a no-no. You probably need to sharpen your images because, especially if you're shooting raw, your photos are coming right off the sensor, right out of the camera, with minimal, if any, processing done to them. So you're getting the raw data, and obviously your photos are going to be just a tiny bit kind of soft. You might see a little bit of softness in your photo. So if you go into the detail menu in Lightroom, you're going to get a couple options of the sharpening amount. You're going to get the amount, the radius, the detail, and the masking. There's no hard and fast rule. There's a lot of people out there that have mathematical equations to apply to your sharpening. What I typically do is the sharpening is usually set to around 25 when you import them in to Lightroom, for example. I will bump mine up to around 75, 80, somewhere around there. And that typically gives me a good amount of sharpening. Now, if I'm going to print a photo, if I'm going to make a photo that I definitely know that's going to be printed, I want it to have a very good sharpening amount and radius. And so what I'll do is apply the amount to around 100, and I'll just keep it around 95 to 100, and then my radius at 1.5. Currently, the radius is set at 1.0. That's the default, but I will set it to 1.5, and based on that kind of number is based on a resolution of 300 DPI when you finally get it printed. That kind of mathematical equation actually works out. So no matter how big the photo I'm printing, I always make it 300 DPI, and I always set the sharpening amount to 100 and the radius to 1.5. Now, those values are great for kind of global adjustments because what you're actually doing is applying a global adjustment throughout the whole photo. But there is also one other slider in there, and that's the masking slider. The masking slider, actually what it does is helps you refine edges in your photo. And so currently when you import a photo, the masking slider is set to 0. And what that does is basically means 0 is you're applying a global, whatever you applied for the amount and the radius, you're applying that globally across the whole photo. So what masking does is actually apply the sharpening amount to the edges of kind of the detected edges in your photo. So let's say you have a portrait of somebody and you don't want to sharpen globally because you don't want to sharpen the texture in the skin. You might not want to sharpen the detail in the eye because, you know, you probably got the image tack sharp. You don't want the hair to be overly sharpened. What you can actually do is slide that to the right, and the farther you slide that slider to the right, the more you're going to sharpen your edges in your photo. And so if you actually want to see what it's doing, you can actually hold the Alt or Option key on your keyboard and slide that slider over, and it's going to change to a black and white view of a photo. And so the black images or the black areas in your photo when you're sliding that over, the black area is actually going to be the parts that are not sharpened. The white areas are going to be the parts that are sharpened. So you can see that it's only sharpening the edges of your photo. So again, if you're working with people, that might be a good reason to use masking. But if you want the global sharpening effect to your photo, try to keep your masking around 0 to 5, somewhere around there, and you'll get an overall global sharpening effect. Number four is spot removal and removal of blemishes. And so this one's kind of an easy one. This is something that people kind of think about first when they start thinking about how they want to make their photo, how creative they want to be with their photo, is removing unwanted items from your photo. So this is not really a technique that you would look to, but it's kind of like a process that you would think about when you're editing your photo. So let's say you have a photo and you have some people in your photo that you might not want in there. You just kind of want to remove them a little bit, and they may be just they may be just kind of distractions in the photo. Just go ahead and remove them out. It can be anything from power lines, leaves that might be blowing on the road or something. It doesn't matter. It's just something subconsciously to think about, that you need to remove something from your photo. If you look at your image and one thing jumps out of the image that is not your subject, it's probably a good thing to think about removing it or kind of minimizing it in a little bit of way. Maybe darken that area up or something like that. But if you can, if it's easily able to be removed, that's probably a good thing to think about. Remember, distractions in your photo, that's something that you don't want the viewer's eye to go to. So it's easily removable, especially if you have a model that has some blemishes or something. Just kind of hit the spot removal tool in your Lightroom or Photoshop, and you can use the clone brush or the clone tool there as well, and just remove all of that out. All right, number five is actually dodging and burning. A lot of people don't think about actually doing dodging and burning in your photos. Some of you might even not know what dodging and burning means. So real quickly, dodging and burning basically means darkening or highlighting or lightening part of the part of certain areas of your photo. So let's say you have a field, and there's some flowers in the field, and you kind of want those to stand out a little bit more than the other parts of the image. So what you could actually do is apply a certain exposure amounts to that foreground where the flowers are, and it will make them stand out a little bit more. So what you're doing is kind of brightening the exposure a little bit to where those areas stand out more. You can also do that would be called dodging. Burning would actually be where you're darkening an image. So again, dodging is actually lightening an image. Burning, you're actually darkening an image. So maybe you have a sky that you want to bring out a little bit of the detail in it. You can actually bring that back by burning the sky, making it a little bit darker, not too much, but a little bit darker, to where that kind of emphasizes a little bit. A lot of people would say that if you go in the basics panel in Lightroom, for example, and you bring down the highlights and increase the shadows, you're kind of doing a little bit of dodging and burning there. But with traditional dodging and burning, you're actually taking a brush of some sort and kind of painting in a little bit where you want the areas to be lightened or darkened. This kind of starts the creative process of how you want the viewer to see your photo. And that actually rolls into step number six, which is actually your creative edits. So I know that that's kind of a weird step to think about, but when it comes to that, you want to know what kind of creative edits you want to do. This is where you start thinking about maybe color differences, color tonal differences, white balance, color balance, split toning, black and white. This is where you start thinking about all of your creative edits. One thing I like to do specifically is if I have an image and I'm not sure exactly how to take the image, if I'm not sure how to how the direction I want to go with pretty much anything, mainly color adjustments, I will go into my Sleek Lens presets and I will kind of just hover over them a little bit, and I'll get that preview window in the top of Lightroom, the top left of Lightroom, and I'll get a little preview of what the image could look like. So that'll kind of give me an idea. That'll start to get the juices flowing about how I want the image to eventually look. So that's one thing that you can think about doing, is just kind of playing around with your ideas. But that is step number six, is actually your creative edits. All right, so the last and final step is actually exporting. So there's a different workflow that a lot of people have when it comes to pretty much any kind of workflow they have, and that's, what do they do with the photo after it's done? Does it just sit on your hard drive? Do you, immediately start sharing it or something like that? It depends on the photo, obviously, but what I like to do after I have a final edit of the photo, what I believe is the final edit that I'm most likely not going to do anything with it, I'm actually going to export the photo. And this is sort of like a backup situation, if you kind of think about it this way. What I'll do is I'll export the photo, and I will export it in two different formats. So I'll open up Lightroom, I'll click export, and what I'll do is I'll export a high resolution JPEG of the image. So I'll do 300 PPI JPEG, the quality at maximum, and I'll kind of save that as a backup. Obviously, the raw file is still in my Lightroom. It's still in my Lightroom catalog where I imported it, so everything's great there. but I still want a high resolution JPEG of it in case something happens. You never know, if you don't have a solid backup, your computer could crash and you don't have a solid backup. So what I would like to do is take that JPEG and just kind of move it to a service like Dropbox or OneDrive or Google Drive or something like that, where I have an offsite backup. And I know it's just a JPEG, but that's the best that I can do if something were to happen to my computer. The other format that I would export it in is actually a TIFF file. I kind of go between TIFF and PSD file, and this is actually in Lightroom if I'm exporting it from Lightroom. If I'm in Photoshop, I will basically just save it as a PSD file, a Photoshop file. I'll keep that, and I'll still keep the JPEG, but I'll just do the Photoshop file. But if I'm in Lightroom, I'll also do a TIFF file, and a TIFF file is just the reason I do a TIFF file is because the TIFF files usually have a whole lot of data in them, has a whole lot of data baked into the file, so that if I needed to make more adjustments, if something did happen to my computer again, if I needed to make a little bit more adjustments to it, I could, because I have so much data in that TIFF file. Sure, I don't have a lot of data, as much data as I would if it comes to a RAW file, but if, again, if something happened, a backup situation, if something happened to my computer, I definitely want what I can get out of it. So if I don't have a good solid backup solution, which I think every photographer should have some sort of all-in-one backup solution for their computer, these two kind of file formats will kind of help me along. It'll be better than losing everything. So these are the kind of things that I think about. So that's the seven things that should be done to every photo. Again, a lot of these, the profile corrections, the straightening, the sharpening, spot removal, all of that stuff is thought about without you actually even, going step by step. You kind of do that all together, all at once, especially if you have an import preset, especially in Lightroom. You can actually knock a lot of that out as you import your photo. So you can make a real quick import preset and just say, apply the auto corrections, apply the auto alignment, apply the sharpening, and you're completely done. Lightroom will automatically apply those to your photos as you're importing them. If you're not wanting to do all of this step by step, that's one real quick method to use. All right, everyone, that is this week's podcast. That's the seven things that you should do to every photo. Again, you do all this automatically, so you don't really have to think about it, but that's just something to think about as you're editing your files, as you're editing all your photos and trying to get them to look great. Those are the kind of the seven things that you probably should consider when editing your photos. So again, everybody, thank you for listening. Make sure that if you're going to check out anything we have over at Sleek Lens, our Lightroom presets, our Photoshop actions, our overlays, everything that you can think of, Photoshop templates, everything, make sure you use the coupon code SleekLensPodcast, all one word, and you'll get 10% off of your cart. That also applies to the brand new beginner's course that we just rolled out, the brand new photography beginner's course, video course that you can check out as well. 8 hours of content, 30 videos, downloads. So if you're kind of just getting into photography, that's one really awesome thing to check out as well. That coupon code applies there, so you can use it right away when it comes to the beginner's course. But again, thank you guys for rating the podcast on iTunes, and thank you for listening anywhere you're listening from it. I look forward to seeing you guys next week, and this has been Jordan from Sleek Lens, and I'll see you later.